Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome once again to Madame Perry Salon, the podcast that loves you. I am your host, your groove mistress, and your cruise director, Madame Perry. But you can call me Jennifer, Jan, JP, Perry. I'm just happy to be here and happy you are. We have been having so much fun. And by the way, thanks to everyone who has been subscribing to the podcast and following on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher, Apple, thank you all so much. And for the nice reviews that people have left, I appreciate all of that. It helps, especially when you share things on social media. I am so grateful. And we always have good guests. I've never had a guest that wasn't a winner, but things just get more and more fun all the time. Was it recently we had Grammy Award-winning saxophonist Dave Koz? What a guy, not only extremely talented, but a sweetheart. We had Arden Marine, actress, comedian from the TV show on Netflix, Insatiable. She plays Regina Sinclair. That was fun. Last week we had Vivian Boucherat. She is an artist, a mixed media artist, and a singer and musician. And she has a new book called Know You're Crazy. It's mostly art, but it's for women to understand your needs. Y-O-U-R, Know Our Own Kinds of Crazy. It's a fantastic book. It's the kind of book that once you read it, you'll want to give it to your girlfriend or maybe to your friend that doesn't, your male friend that doesn't understand women, just to help him out. That would be good too. And her husband, Chris White, who was one of the original lineup of the band of Zombies, is going to be on soon too. His project is a Chris White Experience, but Chris White will be here probably in a couple of weeks. We've also got Dr. Sheena Howard, who, among other things, she wrote the book, The Encyclopedia of Black Comics, or Black Comic Artist. And she also wrote a book, contributed and edited, there's several writers in it, called Why Wakanda Matters. And she'll be here in a couple of weeks. And I am so psyched about everyone coming up. Now, today is a band. We've got a band on the show, I guess. I am absolutely nuts over this band. I love them. They're great. They're in Liverpool, and you know good musicians come out of Liverpool. But I love their music so much and love them that I am thrilled to have them on. So I got two of the guys on here today, all the way from the UK to Madame Perry Salon. So I want to welcome Joe Symes and Colin White of Joe Symes and the Loving Kind. Hi, guys.
Hello.
How you doing? How's everything?
Yeah, pretty good. Everything's pretty good considering what's been going on. Obviously, you know, we haven't been able to gig recently, and obviously we're just waiting to get back in the studio when it reopens again because of all of the lockdown restrictions. But obviously in the meantime, we've still been very, very busy online. Everything online has been going great. Magazine interviews, radio play, radio sessions, obviously like this one now, and there's obviously more to come as well. So all online activity has basically been, basically, you know, keeping us busy at the moment. So, you know, things haven't been too bad. It could be a lot worse. So things have been okay so far, but we're just really itching now to get back out there to play and to finish off our new EP.
You know, I mentioned earlier that actress Arden Marine was on a few weeks ago, and she has a book about her life growing up called Little Miss Little Compton, because that's where she grew up, Little Compton, Rhode Island. And she was talking about going into theater and the arts and comedy, about how to learn when you seem to hit a dead end or a roadblock. She called it, you got to know how to pivot. You know, don't go backwards. Don't stand still. Make it make something work for you. But I'm finding so many artists like yourselves are making it work. Even though there's a lockdown, even though things are very, very different, you're not standing still. You're still gigging, but you're still making it work with interviews in magazines. I've seen press, print broadcasts, all kind of media you're getting in. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, at least, as you say, because of the lockdown and stuff and restrictions and all that, we're still being busy online and we'll continue to do so until the lockdown and restrictions are being lifted. Then we can get back into the airstream and get back into the studio and finish our new 4-track EP, which is very different from the last stuff we've done. Very, very catchy indeed.
Well, let me start just a little bit for people. And you guys have gotten so popular, and I'm so thrilled to have you here for this, to talk with you. But I want to go for anybody that you may be new to, kind of start from the beginning of your career. How long have you been together?
It feels a lot longer than what it actually is. When we started the band, we had problems with band members. So basically our first debut album, the main musicians on that is mainly me and Colin. Now, we had so-called band members at the time, but we really weren't committed. I mean, if you listen to the album, for me personally, because I love the songs, and Colin contributed all of his parts as well. All the pre-production work would be up till like 5 or 6 in the morning, working on the songs and pre-production, and going to the studio. So you know, we've had two lineup changes. So I mean, basically, the first album is, you know, it's the band, but it's mainly me and Colin. So really, I mean, like phase two, which we put out in 2018, we actually confirmed that as the official lineup, because that was the longest of the lineup that we had. And so we're at a push now. Officially, we've been going for 3.5-4 years now.
Well, I've played your music often on this show ever since I met you guys, which is a couple of years ago, I think, on social media, on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I got to say, out of every album, every EP of yours, there's never, ever a clunker in the bunch. Every song is quality. Every song is fun. And every song is one that you'll want to play over and over. I want to read for the listeners, a couple of reviews or excerpts from different magazines to review, because I like your songs because they make me feel, whether it's a good song, a rocking song, a happy song, or even if it's an emotional song, it makes me feel, and it relates. And I think that's one of the things that people like best, that they can relate to your music. Just to read a few excerpts from press quotes. Jammerzine magazine said, "This is a lesson in songwriting." That's pretty good. They also said, "Take note if you're thinking of starting a band or wanting to get your music heard, this is how it's done." XR Volume said about your music, "No one can write Heartbreak with a Smile like this UK group." And Australia Magazine, Pop Culture Pipe Bomb said, "Everything they do is impeccable." That's some pretty good quotes. And I also wanted to say for people too, and I've mentioned this when I play your music, but early on, you guys were already starting to hit it out of the park with some major attention. Tell us about your relationship or working with Noel Gallagher and High Flying Birds and the connection there.
Well, we didn't exactly work with them on two separate occasions. We actually headlined his after show party, which was in the O2 Academy. That was on the main stage of the O2 Academy 1, which is in Liverpool, a great venue. And I think one of our earliest gigs as a band, I think it must be like our second gig as a full band, we headlined his first after show party. And, you know, the turnout was amazing. Obviously, we were a headlining band. And that was also a good start. And obviously, after a while, while we were working on the second album a few months before it was released, we got asked to headline it again. And obviously, that was as we are now. So basically, they're just really nice. They're just like, you know, good two great gigs that we've added to our kind of list of like gigs that we've done. I mean, you know, there's a hell of a lot of gigs there to be added to as well. And all, I mean, some of our favourites we supported a band called The Christians. That was in a big theatre in Shrewsbury, which is in England. And the funny thing was, obviously, because we were the only support band on that night, we actually did the gig acoustically. We kind of done a type of MTV Unplugged setup, which was really good, which kind of showed our acoustic versatility, which we like to do quite a lot. And there's been other ones as well. We supported a band called Republica, who were a 90s band, and that was for an event called the Rock and Roll Marathon, which usually gets held every year. I think the only one in the UK is actually in Liverpool. All the other Rock and Roll Marathon events are actually, I think, in mainland Europe and in America and Canada. So obviously we were like one of the main supports for them as well. And you know, we've there's a lot of great headlining gigs we've done. One of our favourite gigs that we headlined was a theatre in Brecon in Wales. We did a gig in the theatre there, and like that turnout was amazing. The venue was incredible. But it's basically, you know, there is, you know, obviously the two Noel Gallagher after show parties, they're obviously up there as some of our favourites, but obviously they're two out of many other favourites as well. So, you know, we always take pride in the fact that, you know, obviously, you know, going back to you know, some of those quotes that you read out, you know, it's nice to know that you know, obviously that these from magazines from all around the world, and I've actually said these things about like ourselves as a band, and you know, Joe's a songwriter, and so on. I mean, actually recently, you might have seen, but a friend of ours who's based in Ohio, he purchased our second album, Phase 2, recently, and he was kind enough to actually off his own back. He basically it's on a Facebook post where he said he purchased the album, and he actually quoted as saying basically the band was, and I quote, was one of the best, most dynamic and creative rock groups of modern times, which we found very, very complimentary, you know, and you know, we took great pride in the fact that obviously that's another sort of positive quote made by, and that someone doesn't work for a magazine or anything, that's from a person who by chance has bought our music over the past few years. So we've been very, very, you know, it's been, there's a lot of great compliments been going on. So I think if people are saying that, then obviously, you know, we're on the right track, and, you know, we're doing everything right. So I think one way that continue.
I think when you read the band website and the biography, we've done a lot of high-profile gigs.
Yeah.
They seem to be all out, you know, which is, we don't mind talking about at all. We've got a magazine interview which we've just done in America, and the last people that they interviewed was George Clooney, Quentin Tarantino, so, you know, it's
a lot of Hollywood.
It's a lot of Hollywood actors. That will go up on our social media pages. So we've got like a good CV, so to speak, if you look at what we've been doing and stuff. And we finished a 2.5 year tour in 2019. We need some time out. And just as we're about to gig in 2020, and gigs have been confirmed, we've been told for lockdown. So I think over the last year, it's been pretty bad for everyone in the industry, as well as people personally and mentally. I think it's, you know, been bad for a lot of people. But, you know, let's hope we come out of this all smile and enjoy life again as we knew it. But then we can get back out and start playing and release more new music and stuff. And we're very grateful for all the compliments and magazines around the world that have said about us and the interviews and stuff and all that. And we take pride in that. And we just do what we do and continue to put out the music. And that's it.
You know, I think I saw a comment from maybe on your Facebook page from someone in Ohio. So I may have seen the one you're talking about, Colin. But while you're on here, yeah, let's talk about your music. When you guys, I'm sure, you know, like everybody, like every musician or all of us that try to play, you always start off, I think, imitating or learning the songs of the people that you like most, that admire you, and obviously that you admire, and that become an influence. So I know this, everybody asks this, but what was that for you? Who were your influences?
It varies a lot of bands. I mean, for me, it's the Beatles, first and foremost. But then I can go to stuff like Motown, or I can go to Bacharach, Lou Reed, Velvet Underground, Sex Pistols, Buzzcocks, Early Genesis, Gabriel, Marvin Gaye, Diana Ross. The list is absolutely endless. I mean, all kinds of influence by like film composition as well, you know, in monochrome. Just all kinds. It's a process that, like, you know, you go through as, like, you know, when you're starting out, and you sort of, you try to maybe model yourself on someone, but then you become, like, mature as a band and the way you think and represent yourself. And as a writer, you start to see things that, you know, you don't do that anymore, you do that and stuff. So it could be anything. Anything influences the music, anything at all. Films, even speaking to people, you know, it influences the music. It's right across the board. We don't stick in the box. We step outside the box. So, you've got our first debut album, there's a lot of variety on there. A lot of variety. And we go to phase two. And we just crank the volume up, you know. But in between that, the debut album and phase two, we put out a single called Things Get Better, which was a hint as to what was to come on phase two. Now, even stuff like that, it's like we don't put singles out that have already been on albums. We do them separately because, as we've always said, we don't want to con the public. We give them extra music outside of what's on the albums. Like the Beatles did, they put Rubber Soul out. And then they put Dates Ripping out and we can work it out. So that either side, you know, we do the same thing. We give the public what they want. And we're not going to rip them off. It's not going to be, oh, where's the 12-inch mix of that song? Or where's the extended mix of that song? Here's this single with the extra spark and the cover and the thumbs up on it. We don't do that. It's just we don't count people. You know, we do what we do, and that's what we always pride ourselves on, what we do, and that way of releasing stuff.
And we've always done that on purpose, basically, to like, when we release a single, it will not be on an album. The single will be its own separate thing. I don't think that many bands do that these days. I mean, I think, like, in say the past few decades, it's been mainly, you know, a band will release an album and then release three or sometimes four singles off that album. Now, the thing is, we wouldn't want to do that. We'd always want to have an album as a self-contained thing on itself, and no other songs are repeated anywhere else. The singles for an EP, anything that will be on an EP will just be on that EP and not on anything else ever again. Honestly, it's the best of in many years to come, but that's a different story. And obviously, in singles, the singles are, they are their own thing. Obviously, again, with this EP that we've nearly finished, which will be out later this year. Obviously, that's kind of like, that's like a continuation of what we've been doing already, but it's got its own kind of thing. It's a bit more jangly, I'd say. Obviously, the last album was very, very heavy, but still catchy, and this one's kind of, you know, it's not as heavy, but it's still quite, you know, still very, very up-tempo. And obviously, you know, again, like Joe said, you know, the last thing you want to do is kind of like, you know, release a single that's already on something that someone's already bought. We wouldn't want to do that because then you've got it twice. And what's the point in that? Each release is its own thing. And obviously that's our thing. It's a thing that bands did many years ago. And I'm sure that there are other bands who do it as well. Obviously, I don't know about that. I can't speak for any other bands. But the thing is, that's our thing. And if we have brought that kind of idea back, then that's another thing that I think we're quite proud of. But obviously, I'm sure there are other bands who've done it. But I don't know anyone who has done it. So if any other band has done it, then please tell me.
You know, what you were talking about earlier, Joe, about the difference, the wide variety of influences and things that you like. You know, I tend to find, you know, a lot of us have different things that we've listened to. Maybe our parents were what they listened to. Because I know people are surprised that sometimes another one of my favorites, Todd Rundgren, he grew up on show tunes and loves them and kind of puts them into some of his shows. And with me, my dad loved country. My mom was a rocker, so I listened to both. But I noticed, though, with British people, and I learned this just from watching things on TV, reading books about music history by Paulo Hewitt and John Hellier about the history of music in Britain. And I've lately been caught up in watching a lot of Northern Soul dance videos on YouTube, that there's such a wide variety of influences you have right in the country. So whether it's the Northern Soul, which I understood from, I think from John Hellier or Paul Hewitt's book, that it was records brought over from the U.S. that the U.S. didn't listen to, you know, that we just kind of threw them out like, and then they took them over there. And they were hits, or ska, skiffle, all kind of different things that you listen to. You just sort of like take it, make it into a fabulous stew each time. You know, each one's very, very specific and energizing. It's like lots of jewels in there. I also wanted to ask you, who does most of the songwriting?
Well, the principal songwriter in the band is Joe. He writes the songs, and basically the process is, it's always been this way, but Joe will write a song and he'll finish it from start, and he'll play it to me, or he'll play it to Alan, our bass, or both of us, from start to finish, and go, here's a new song, and we'll go, okay, and then we'll take it on board and take it into the ear, so we'll always, you know, listen over to it, and, you know, kind of, you know, learn and, you know, get the structure so we know what's going on. Basically, the process is, it's like when he shows a song, it's like a preliminary sketch that an artist will do. The pic, mm-hmm. you know, the image is there, but obviously it's just like, it's like a pencil sketch. So the case of basically, you know, in that form on acoustic guitar, the way he will show us, we'll take that and then we'll put our covers on, we'll put our shades on. So if it'd be like a paint myself, you know, a countryside or something like that, you know, we'll colour in, like, you know, the green of the grass and the blue of the sky and the white or grey of the clouds, and obviously, you know, that'll be obviously, you know, the way the drums will go and the way the bass will go and all the guitar part. And also, you know, and it doesn't matter if anyone's got a suggestion. If Joe's got a drum suggestion, I won't, like, you know, put my nose and say, you can't say that to me, I'm the drummer, I must make all the drum decisions. You know, it doesn't work that way. You know, if he has an idea and it works, then I'll take that on board. If I have an idea for, like, you know, a bass idea, you know, I'll take that on board. And if it works, then it'll get done. Or if you've got an idea for a backing vocal idea, you know, it doesn't matter who can suggest something. If it's a good idea, it'll get used. I mean, I think that's the way the Beatles worked. You know, there's many, you know, stories about, you know, say, doing it in the studio and say, John Lennon might have had an idea for, like, you know, a drum fill to Ringo, or Paul McCartney might have had an idea, or George might have had an idea for the bass part that Paul McCartney would have played. So again, it doesn't matter, you know, who has the idea. As long as it works, it'll get used. So basically, you know, there's no ego. There's no ego when it comes to you know, suggesting ideas, or maybe, you know, giving somebody else an idea or a suggestion. If it works and saves the song, that's all that matters. Because the worst thing I think that any musician can do is play for themselves and basically just be like, you know, they're playing or their part on the song becomes self-indulgent, And if it gets that bad, then, you know, it ruins the song, and basically it just makes that person a bad musician. So basically, you know, everyone saves the song and they play for the song, because if it didn't go that way, it wouldn't work. So obviously that's our philosophy on that one.
I mean, if you listen to the first date of the album, and the songs are written, it was just me and Colin. So when I was writing the songs, I would be putting the parts on my phone as well, along with it. You've got for instance, there's a song on the first album called Fine Line, which is very up-tempo, like the Kinks and stuff, you know. And there's a brass section in the middle of it, and I actually mimic the brass section, what it should go like, whilst playing the guitar into my phone. It's, you know, all the guitar parts on the first album, I wrote them all. I wrote all the bass lines. We had the keyboard player then who was playing for us. I wrote a good few bits of the keyboard, because I'm not an amazing keyboard player, but I can write keyboard parts. But because he was a bit more advanced, he could take it to another place, which was great. There's a song that I call Love Is the Reason, which is, you know, a bit very, very Beatles influenced. I had 20 minutes in which to write a three-piece, a trio, a cello, and a little bit of violin. 20 minutes in order to get them to play, get it down before they have to leave. So there was that as well, and stuff, and just tracks on the first album, Where They Belong, and Where There's Your Window. They were done before we even all these band members, and that's just me and Colin playing everything. Colin plays drums and percussion. I play all the pianos, all the harmon, the guitar parts, the lock, the bass lines on it. And I played all the bass lines on the rest of the tracks on the first album, and also all the guitar parts. You know? So basically, the album is mainly me and Colin. I go for all the parts, and that's the way it can work like that. They can come with a song from scratch, and yeah, there we go, we'll jump on it. But also a lot of suggestions can be brought in for it as well. We've got other songs there which are very, like, what we haven't even released, like, you know, very, even more like Bert Bacharach and Carole King. We've got stuff like that. We've got Motown stuff as well, which we haven't even released. We've got all there in demo form. So there's so many different styles. It's, you know, you take your person, you know, we don't like to be stuck in a box and play it safe. So you don't need to stay like that. It's just going to be, it's going to be more of the same, you know. So that's an insight as to what the first album, because I played all the instruments on them, but a few keyboards.
I think the funny thing is about the first and second album is obviously, you know, obviously there was a lot of pre-production for both albums, but I think obviously, like Joe said then, obviously on the first album there was like some songs that had some horns and some strings on other things. I think the second album, even though obviously there was a lot of pre-production work in the second album, which is the latest one, I think it was a little bit more straightforward in comparison, because the second album, and even with this new EP that we're going to be releasing later this year, that's basically mainly just drums, bass, and guitars with a couple of keyboard bits here and there, but not too much. So, yeah, the second album was a little bit more straightforward, I'd say, just for the three of us.
It wasn't the second album in terms of putting the vocals down. I'd done the whole of the album in one session, the vocals, all the tracks in one go, which I was very, very pleased with. So it wasn't like, I'll come back and do vocals on second day. They were all done within one day, the vocals, right off. And what you hear is what like I've done right off. That's impressive.
I'm going to say just a moment that for a lot of my listeners listen in their car or when they're jogging or working out. So I want to say that if you're looking for where to find Joe Symes and the Loving Kind on social media, or if you want to buy their music from their website, the website is Joe, J-O-E, Symes, S-Y-M-E-S, and thelovingkind.co.uk, just like it sounds. But I will be sharing all of their social media links on all of my social media links, whether it's from Madame Perry Salon or my personal Jennifer Perry. social media. So I'll be sharing it there. So if you can't write it down now, you'll get it later. You can follow them on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, SoundCloud, Reverb Nation, Instagram. They are everywhere. So I'll definitely share that. Guys, I got a few more really important questions to ask you, but how would you feel if we just took a little break right now?
Yes, it's fine.
And I want to play a song. This is one. This is great. I want to play the song, Where Do We Go From Here? And that'll give you guys about 3.5 minutes to get a glass of water or whatever you need, and we'll be right back. So this is Where Do We Go From Here? It rocks. It could tear up a dance floor with that song. You don't know how many times I've listened to it. It's a good thing that things are digital, because you can, if it was vinyl, it'd be worn out by now. That is a great song.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Where do we go? So, guys, I wanted to catch you on some things, a few more things while I've still got you. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I'm just going to give you a list of things that I wanted to talk about, and you just pick them out and go where you want to do. Now, for people to know, you've played some very, very high-profile gigs and with festivals and supporting gigs. You've also heard that some of your music has been played during halftime at Liverpool football games. Some of your songs were included in a charity compilation put together by David, I think it's Quafis. I don't know how to pronounce his name. And
Dave Quafe.
Quafe, okay. Dave Quafe. And
yeah.
That was a pretty... There's some pretty big names on there, too.
Yeah. And how that came about was David Quafe.
Quafe, yeah.
He's brother of the late Pete Quafe, who was based in the Kinks.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And we got asked, would we do two tracks for the album, which is support Dialysis, which is really not a nice thing to have. And we said, yeah, and, all proceeds from the sales of that album, they can go to support it. But, the copyright is still my copyright and stuff, my songs and that. There's a few big names on there. There's Paul Wells on there. There's Roger McGlynn.
Paul Weller, Ocean Colour Scene, which is...
Yeah, Steve Craddock from Ocean Colour Scene. He was one of the players as well. Yeah, Steve Craddock. There's a good few on there, High Profile CD. So we're part of that as well. We're the only band on it that's got two songs on it.
Now, you guys have also gotten some... Now, I was watching earlier, a podcast or an interview with Colin, and it was the, I forget the lady's name that interviewed, it's the Wolf Fair. It was done in December.
Texas
lady, yeah. And you've gotten some celebrity fans, just to throw out a few, let me just drop a few names, like Michael Keaton, Matthew Modine, Michael Chiklis.
Yeah, Michael Chiklis.
So tell me about that before you guys get too famous to talk to me anymore.
No, we always talk to you. We don't talk to anyone.
And anybody else.
We don't talk to the cat that's on the street, We talk to animals. We got told, this was with the first album, somebody told us apparently the massive station in America was in Sweden.
Yeah, I think it was, I'm sure it was something like Matters Radio, I think it was either Monica or Ken. So I think it was a long time ago, but I think either they or somebody else said that basically someone like Matthew Modine had our album, or someone told them. I think it was one of the guests on that said that they passed on the album to them. I think it was something like that. But apparently Matthew Modine had our first album, so we could have like a key edit as well. I think that was somebody else who said that. But in regards to the latest album, during the early part of the lockdown last year, a few celebrities did do some endorsement videos. Obviously, Michael Chiklis, he's an actor and musician. He was in a film called Killing Kennedy with Rob Lowe. He was also in Lincoln with Daniel Day-Lewis. We met him on the It Matters radio show with our good friends Monica and Ken and Kerry. That's where we met him. He was a fellow guest. And basically, he said a lot of great things about the album. He's actually very good friends with Kenny Rogers, and we actually requested we asked them to, if Kenny would maybe want to do a little endorsement for the album itself. But unfortunately, before we could actually speak to him ourselves personally, he passed away sadly a few months ago. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, that couldn't get done. But there's also been a few obviously a few UK actors who have done it as well. Andy Whittaker, who we know, he's in a soap opera called Emmerdale, and he's a musician as well. and an actor called John McArdle. He's a local Liverpool actor. He's been in a lot of
BBC dramas.
BBC North dramas that have been in the north of England as well. He says a few nice things as well and all. And there'll be a few more coming up as well. But again, you know, I think that's just a kind of testament to, you know, so like, you know, of what we're doing. The fact that, like, even like these people are actually, like, you know, publicly like, you know, supporting the band and saying that it's some very complimentary things about the band. And I get it, it just adds to, like, you know, it adds to our confidence, it adds to that kind of, like, you know, that they'll have the, like, we're obviously doing something like, and the music is basically, you know, getting across to a wide audience and appeals to a wide audience as well. So obviously, you know, with all that stuff, again, we can't really complain at all.
Yeah, for real. And, you know, as an entertainment publicist, you know, I always try to tell clients, especially when I'm giving a talk to somebody, you have to be out there, whether you're a musician, artist, author, whatever you do, or any kind of business, you have to be out there. You've got to be out in front of people, big or small, it doesn't matter. All of them are important. Big gig, small gig, everything is important. And you guys, not only... Yeah, you've been on the BBC radio several times, I've seen, and you're very open. You're very, like you said, you're social animals. You're very open to people and sharing, whether you're doing a big festival, you know, and I'm sure you treat people just the same if you're on a small gig. You know, everybody that came to see you, as I used to say, whenever I was gigging with a band, that I tell them, it doesn't matter if there's a few people there or a lot of people. The point is, they didn't have to come. They could have stayed home, but they got up, got dressed, spent the gas on the car or the subway, and they came to see you. So everyone is important. And I think it's not just the talent, because you guys are loaded with talent, but you've also got the personality, the attitude, and the generosity to go out and treat all your fans the same and everybody that hears you. And I think that's going to add a lot to, your continued success.
I mean, everything is important to what you do. I mean, supporting every local station that supports you, whether it's big or small, whether it's mainstream or whether it's underground, playing all the gigs, like, if you're playing to like 20 people or you're playing to 2,000 or 200, you give us 100 or 200% performance. Because at the end of the day, if them people there that are buying your music, and they're the ones that are, you know, paying for your flash cars or whatever and stuff, or your lifestyle or that. The thing is, you never forget the people who support you from the start, but you'll always remember the ones that didn't support you. And generally, 9 times out of 10, it's the ones that didn't support you will be the ones that will come back and want to know you when you've made a name for yourself. And you know what I mean? It's like, you just came around, you go, you just cook the people that, you know, what gig was you at? What gig, and they claim to know you. And, you know, it's sort of like the Emperor's New Clothes about these people. Oh, these are great, they're great, they're great, and all that. And there's a lot of jealousy involved in it as well and stuff. So you remember all the ones that sports, yeah? The radio stations, the magazine interviews, the bloggers and doing it from the bedroom. You don't have to do it at all. And, like, you know, you support what you're doing, support. You remember all the people that supported you. You remember more so the ones that didn't. And the ones,
you know,
that come back to be your mate.
That's the truth. You know, the reason I laughed when you first started saying that was because it reminded me of a gig that I had in a small local club. But the thing is, there were people there that, you know, came to see us a lot, local people, at almost all of our gigs. And there was a guy that came in that we knew, that my husband worked with, but we'd known him a while. And he walks in and he said, "Do I have to pay?" And we said, "Well, yeah, you got to go around the other side and pay the guy at the door." He goes, "Well, if I have to pay, I'm not going to stay." And he walked out. And I thought, you know, I might have given him a little latitude. But the thing is, when he asked me that, there was 3 tables of people next to him that were listening, paid to see us, that had paid to see us the week before and the week before that. And I sure wasn't going to let him come in for free when these people have been dedicated followers and paid every time.
Totally.
You know?
Totally. And you've got a right to do so. I mean, we've got people on, do we know, on Facebook. And I said, well, have you got tickets in your case? Well, yeah, okay, here's a ticket. But you have to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, yeah, you do have to pay. I'm like, you know, have you got a job yourself? Yeah, I've got a job. Would you like going to work for no money at all? You know,
yeah.
are you going to live on fresh air? You know,
mm-hmm.
if you want to come and see us, you pay for the ticket. And you want to have kind of an arm for free? No, because simple fact is, you know, do you want to come to my house and pay my bills? No, that's cheap for some people and all that. And only I want all that. And then, you know, when you think of the majority of success and stuff and all that, as we've got at the moment, people, oh, I know them. They're my mates. And yet they've never been to see them again. They've never
mm-hmm.
liked posts or nothing like that. And just young people, you just give them a wide berth.
Well, exactly.
Just leeches at the end of the day.
That's true. And you know, in the situation
that,
I just described, if I had said yes to
that
him,
actually,
it would be an insult to the people who had been paying to see us.
Yeah,
you know?
You go back and tell his mates, his friends, oh, I got to make it for nothing. Well, if they're going for nothing, why are they paying? Why are you going to pay if they're going for nothing? No, it doesn't work like that. You know, you have to eat. You have to feed on the table, you know, put petrol in your car. You know, these people are not on this plan. You think, oh yeah, because you know you get it for nothing. Well, no, you don't. No, you know, it's just leeches, that's all we are. And I'm telling people you just don't have any time for.
What you just said then, something quite similar happened to me a few years ago. I remember meeting up with a friend, and they told me that someone who we both knew said to this friend of mine, I'm not going to their gigs. Did they charge us for tickets? It's like, yeah. Well, you know, what are we going to do? Just give all our tickets away for free? I said, if in your work, can I have some free things in your work? Well, no, it doesn't work. Well, there you go. It was a case. And this friend told me this, and I found it absolutely amazing. This person, because I'm not going to their gigs. They charge me for tickets. It's like, well, yeah. That's the way it works. You know?
Don't get paid in the start. But that's all right, you know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, it's a free ticket and all that, by the way. I haven't left for the week. You know what I mean? Just, nah.
Can I come
on
this?
Hey, guys,
you know,
they don't go on,
no.
Right, they don't go in the Tesco and say, do I have to pay for this?
Of course, you know.
Yeah.
But
do I have to pay for these groceries?
You keep up with the bed on these.
Well, I you know, we all dislike that we can't get out and play and go places and hear things live and have fun. I mean, you guys have known me long enough that you know my best friend, Kenya. You know her. Close as we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the best. And as close as we are, I haven't seen her in a year. And she only lives
really?
About 30 minutes from me because she's staying home and she's being very careful about not getting out if she doesn't have to get out. She's very concerned about COVID-19. And so we used to, you know how close we were. We get together, oh, well, we still are. We still get together. We used to get together a lot in person and just, you know, laugh. And now it's just phone or text because she's concerned. I'm concerned. And in fact, but hopefully soon we'll all be out to play and people will get to hear you live. But in the meantime, they can buy your music. They can watch videos. And I hope that you guys just can continue to give us the love like you have been with the videos, music, and talking to us on social media and all the other shows you're doing. I am just so proud of you and so proud to know you. I think you guys are fantastic. And I know there's a million more like me.
That's very nice. Thank you. I'm glad you like the albums as well.
Oh, you know I do. So, guys, I've kept you very long, so I'm going to let you go for now. But I hope you'll come back, please.
Yeah, we could have stayed on the air for another half an hour if you wanted to. I could see you.
Okay. But you'll come back and do the show again?
Yeah, we'll come back when the new EP's out. Oh, by the way, speaking of Kenya, I think the last time I spoke to her personally was maybe a couple of months ago on Instagram, because I know she's not on Facebook anymore. But I briefly spoke to her on Instagram, and I know she loves the band too. So obviously, the next time you speak to her, tell us we all said hello.
I will. And you know what? Actually, she was doing a podcast. She's not now, but she's got another one coming out very soon. You know, for a long time, she played your music at the end of every podcast.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, she always played you at the end of every podcast. And I think if you guys will come back, you know, soon, I don't know, next month, I'll have her on as a co-host, because she loves you as much as I do.
That'll be fine. We look forward to it. Just give us the date and we're there.
Yeah, and obviously we'll definitely come once we know the release date of the next EP, which you know, it has been delayed due to obviously, you know, these circumstances. But obviously, we've only got one more session left to do, so we should be back in the studio maybe next month or the month after. And once that's done, that'll be ready to mix and master, and then we can quickly get out. So hopefully, I think the EP should be out maybe sometime in the summer. You know, it was meant to be out already, but you know, better late than never, and no one will be disappointed.
Sweet, I know. Well, we're going to be waiting, and I'm going to close out with one of your other songs that I was listening to today.
Okay.
Come to the Other Side. Anything you want to say to the people before I go? Because this is the moment.
By the music, go on our website. By the music, by the merchandise, follow us on the internet. We're there, we're all smiles.
All right, that sounds good. Okay, well, this is Madam Perry. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for, I know you're going to be checking out the website and social media from our friends Joe Symes and the Loving Kind, and we're going to close with their song, Fools Talking. Everybody, be good to yourselves, be good to each other, and let's just keep going. You've been living on borrowed time, all it takes is one mistake, you're always sweet talking, and I know you're kind. I was thinking of another time, now I know why you say you're lonely. She's talking, and it's so unkind.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.